Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhari and Tehillim Maseches Yuma Daf Mem Vav, the fourth parak Tarf B'Kalpi. So the three daps are going to focus on number one. We learned on Daf Mem He Amud Aleph that Rebbe Meir held that an additional melacha was set up daily on the mizbeach for burning the limbs and fats that were not consumed at night. In our Gemara here, Rebbe Elazar said in the name of Bar Kapara that Rebbe Meir was saying the following: Avery Ola Shini Tos regarding the limbs of the Ola that were left over from the previous night. Oslan Marach Mifnei Asmet V'Sodin Afil B'Shabbos. One makes a sepa maracha for them and arranges them upon it, and even on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what Bar Kappa is teaching, given that an explicit mission stated the requirement for a fourth maracha. And Rabbi Avinah answers, Lo nitzvaka elo psuin. This clause is needed only to teach that the fourth maracha is set up even for invalid parts that are left over. But this is only if the fire has already taken hold of the invalid parts. However, if the fire has not yet taken hold of them, a special maracha is not set up for them. Rashi explains that this is only upon becoming singed that the parts are considered lachmo shel mizbeach, the bread of the mizbeach. Others understand that this qualification applies to valid parts as well. Point number two, after knowing that Bar Kappa and Rava agree that we kindle an additional maracha on Shabbos to burn the leftover weekday parts, the Gemara brings Rav Huna's opinion that tchilas docha, sofa ein docha. The beginning of the Shabbos Tamid, referring to a shechita and offering up its parts, is Docha Shabbos, but the end of the Friday Tamid is not Docha Shabbos. We see that Rav Huna holds that the parts of the weekday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos. The Gemara brings the Malchokas regarding what is meant by Inedocha. Rav Chisda said, Docha is a Shabbos, Veinedocha is a Tumah. This means that although the end of the Tamid is Docha Shabbos, is not Docha Tumah. Although we generally override Tumah restrictions for the sake of the Tamid, the mere burning of its parts is not significant enough to warrant this. Rabba said that Rav Huna means Docha is a Tumah, Veinedocha is a Shabbos. Although the burning of the Tamid is Docha Tumah, the end of the Friday Tamid is not Docha Shabbos. Although the parts of the Tamid are burned in a state of Tumah, the parts of the Friday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos, for their burning doesn't warrant being Docha Shabbos. And point number three, we state, HaMechabe Esh Machta Menorah, with regard to one extinguishes the fire of the Machta, the Ketoreh Shavua, or the Menorah, Abai says one is Chayv, and Rava says he's Pater. The Gemara clarifies that they agree that one is Chayv if he extinguished the coal at the top of the Mizbeach. They disagree in a case when he took it down to the ground and extinguished it there. Abai said he is chayv esha mizbeachu. The coal is considered the fire of the mizbeach. Rava says he's patur, came into nitka nitko, because once it's removed from the mizbeach, it was removed. It's no longer considered esha mizbeach. So once again, the three points are number one. We learned on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph that Rebbe Meir held that an additional maracha was set up daily on the mizbeach for burning the limbs and fats that were not consumed at night. In our Gemara here, Rebbe Elazar said in the name of Bar Kappara that Rebbe Meir was saying the following: Avrei Ola Shini Tosru, regarding the limbs of the Ola that were left over from the previous night. Oselan Maracha Mifnei Atzmet V'Sordan V'Afil B'Shabbos. One makes a separate maracha for them and arranges them upon it, and even on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what Bar Kappara is teaching, given that an explicit Mishnah stated the requirement for a fourth maracha, and Rabbi Yavin answers, Lo nitzvaka elo psuin. This clause is needed only to teach that the fourth maracha is set up even for invalid parts that are left over. But this is only if the fire has already taken hold of the invalid parts. However, if the fire has not yet taken hold of them, a special maracha is not set up for them. Rashi explains that it's only upon becoming singed that the parts are considered lachmo shel mizbeach, the bread of the mizbeach. Others understand that this qualification applies to valid parts as well. Point number two, after knowing that both Bar Kappara and Rava agree that we kindle an additional maracha on Shabbos to burn the leftover weekday parts, the Gemara brings Rav Huna's opinion that tchilas docha sofa ein docha. The beginning of the Shabbos Tamid, referring to its shechita and offering up of its parts, is docha Shabbos, but the end of the Friday Tamid is not docha Shabbos. We see that Rav Huna holds that the parts of the weekday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos. The Gemara brings Malchokas regarding what is meant by ein docha. Rav Chisda said, docha is a Shabbos, ve ein docha is a tumah. This means that although the end of the Tamid is Docha Shabbos, it's not Docha Tumah. Although we generally override Tumah restrictions for the sake of the Tamid, the mere burning of its parts is not significant enough to warrant this. Rava said that Rav Huna means Docha is a Tumah, Ve'ena Docha is a Shabbos. Although the burning of the Tamid is Docha Tumah, the end of the Friday Tamid is not Docha Shabbos. Although the parts of the Tamid are burned in a state of Tumah, the parts of the Friday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos, for their burning doesn't warrant being Docha Shabbos. And point number three, it was stated, HaMechabe Esh Machta Menorah, with regard to one who extinguishes the fire of the Machta, the Ketoreh Shavua, or the Menorah, Abai says one is Chayev, and Rava says he's Pater. The Gemara clarifies that they agree that one is Chayev if he extinguished the coal at the top of the Mizbeach. They disagree in a case where he took it down to the ground and extinguished it there. Abai said he's Chayev Esh HaMizbeachu. The coal is considered the fire of the Mizbeach. Rava says he's Pater, came with the Nitka Nitka, because once it's removed from the Mizbeach, it was removed. It's no longer considered Eish HaMizbeach. All right, so now we go to Simon for Daf Mem Vav, and our standard Simon is a cow going moo. So here goes. The Kohen carrying the singed, invalid cow parts to the special fourth Maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with the Friday Tamid on Shabbos, almost stepped on and extinguished coals that had been removed from the Mizbeach. Once again, slow motion. The Kohen carrying the singed, invalid cow parts, that must be more in Daf Mem Vav. The cow carrying the singed, invalid cow parts to the special fourth maracha, which reminds us, we learned on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph that Rebbe Meir held that an additional maracha was set up daily on the Mizbeach for burning the limbs and fats that weren't consumed at night. So in our Gemara here, Rebbe Elazar said in the Mar Kapara that Rebbe Meir was saying the following, Evrei Olish Nitosu, regarding the limbs of the Ola that were left over from the previous night, one makes a separate maracha for them and arranges them upon it, and even on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks what Bar Kabbar is teaching, given that an explicit Mishnah stated the requirement for a fourth maracha. And Rabbi Avin answers, the clause is needed only to teach that the fourth maracha is set up even for invalid parts that are left over. But this is only if the fire has already taken hold of the invalid parts. However, if the fire had not yet taken hold of them, a special maracha is not set up for them. Rashi explains that it's only upon becoming singed that the parts are considered lachmash mizbeach, the bread of the mizbeach. Others understand this qualification applies to valid parts as well. So the Kohen carrying the singed invalid cow parts to the special fourth maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with the Friday Tamid on Shabbos, which reminds us, after knowing that both Bar Kappa and Rava agree that we kindle the initial maracha on Shabbos to burn the leftover weekday parts, the Gemara brings Rav Huna's opinion that tchilasa docha sofa in a docha, the beginning of the Shabbos Tamid, referring to a shchita and offering up of its parts, is docha Shabbos, but the end of the Friday Tamid is not docha Shabbos. So we see that Rav Huna holds that parts of the weekday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos. The Gemara brings a machlokes regarding what is meant by inedocha. Rav Chissa said, it's docha Shabbos ve inedocha satuma. This means that although the end of the Tamid is docha Shabbos, it's not docha tuma. Although we generally override the tuma restrictions for the sake of the Tamid, the mere burning of its parts is not significant enough to warrant this. Rava said the Rav Huna meant docha satuma ve inedocha Shabbos. Although the burning of the Tamid is docha tuma, the end of the Friday Tamid is not docha Shabbos. Although the parts of the Tamid are burned in a state of tuma, the parts of the Friday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos, for their burning doesn't warrant being docha Shabbos. So the Kohen carrying the singed invalid cow parts to the special fourth maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with a Friday Tamid on Shabbos, almost stepped on and extinguished coals that had been removed from the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, it was stated, Mechabe Esh Machta Menorah, with regard to one extinguishes the fire, the Machta, the Ketor Shavuot, or the Menorah. Abai says, one is Chayev, and Rava says, he's Patz. And Gemara clarifies that they agree that one is Chayev if he extinguished the coal at the top of the Mizbeach. They disagree in a case when he took it down to the ground and extinguished it there. Abai said, he's Chayev, Esh HaMizbeachu. The coal is considered the fire of the Mizbeach. Rava says, he's Patr, came into Nitka, because once it's removed from the Mizbeach, it was removed. It's no longer considered Eish HaMizbeach. So once again, the Kohen carrying the singed, invalid cow parts to the special fourth Maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with the Friday Tamid on Shabbos, almost stepped on and extinguished coals that had been removed from the Mizbeach. All right, now it's time to go to our four blah back Hazara. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The non-Kohen mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Beis. The non-Kohen mobster who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the paraduma, which reminds us, the Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers the distinction between two shechitas, that of the paraduma and that of the part of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, where one of the kosher done by Ezra and the other is not, but he didn't know which one was valid. After the Gemara clarifies that Rav holds that the paraduma is possible if it's shechted by Ezra, and Shmuel holds that it's the Kohen Gadol's part that becomes possible, the Gemara challenges each opinion since they use similar words in the Psukim to support their rulings. The Gemara challenges Shmuel as to why he holds the paraduma is kosher if the shechita is done by Ezra, and answers that in the case of the paraduma, the pasuk states, "V'shachut osa lefanav," and he shall slaughter it in front of him, referring to Elazar. So this implies Zar shochet v'lezer roeh, that a zar shechts the paraduma while lezer watches. According to Rav, who holds that a lezer was the one who shechted the paraduma, the pasuk means shol yisiach daitu mimena, that a lezer who's the one shechting the paraduma shall not divert his attention from it. Rashi explains that he must constantly guard it from tuma and other disqualifications. Shmuel learns this then from a different part of the pasuk. So the non-Kohen mobster who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the paraduma became enraged when he was told the par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman. Which reminds the Gemara brings the support for Rav that a par duma shechted by Zar is puzzle from a brisa which teaches that just as a woman may not do the sprinkling of the par duma, she can't do the shechita as well as the other abodas of the par duma. So this implies that just as a woman cannot do the shechita, similarly a zar may not do the shechita. The Gemara challenges this, given that a woman may not do the hazah, but a zar can. So perhaps a woman cannot do the shechita, but a zar can. Abai answered that the reason the Braisa disqualifies a woman from the shechita of the Paraduma is from the fact that the Pasuk identified Al-Ghazir for the shechita and not a woman. Similarly, with regard to Azar, we may say Al-Ghazir is specified and not Azar. So the non-Kohen mobster, who was thrilled he was able to shecht the Paraduma, became enraged when he was told the Par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman and that even his donkey can't walk out with the Paraduma. Which reminds us, Ula did an extensive examination of the psukim from the parsha Paraduma. As part of his analysis, he says the pasuk states, "Vahotzi osa, he shall take it out to the outside of the camp," which teaches shul yotzi acheres ima, that he shall not take another cow with it. As it was learned in the Mishnah Par, if the Paraduma did not want to go out, we don't take a black one with it, so people should not say they shechted the black one for the avodah. And they don't take out even a red one with it, so the people shouldn't say they shechted the two of them. Rashi explains that the shechita of the second one together with the first one would constitute an accompanying different activity which would invalidate the par shechita. Revi says this is not the reason, but rather because the pasuk says, Osa levada, he shall take it out, which implies it alone. The Tanakamu didn't learn this Rashi as Revi Shimon. It was Darsh time of the cry. He expounds the rationale of the pasuk. The nafkamina between them is taking out a donkey with the cow. According to the Tanakam, it's permitted since the rationale doesn't apply, whereas according to Rebbe, it's forbidden since the Paraduma is not being taken out alone. Daf Mem Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp found a How to Be Machaper magazine. Magazine? That must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp, which reminds us that Ula continues expanding the psukim about the Paraduma. The pasuk states, Va'asav ish tahor es efar par v'niach, and a man who is tahor shall gather the ash of the cow, and he shall place it outside the camp in a tahor place. Ish l'hakshir es hazar. The specification of man comes to qualify as zar for this procedure. Tahor l'hakshir es ish, the specification of tahor, comes to qualify a woman for it. Rashi explains that there's no need to teach that a tameh may not gather the ashes. So the woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp found a How to Be a Machaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, which reminds the mission state the Kohen Gadol then comes to the bowl a second time and confesses. The Gemara asks, why is it different that in the case of the first vidui that he doesn't say Ubnei Aaron Am Kodeshecha, and in the second vidui he says it? The Gemara brings a braisa that was taught in the Yeshiva of Yishmael to answer the question. Midas din senes, logic dictates, mutav yavo zakav yechaper al-chai, better that an innocent one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one, va'al yavo chai v'yechaper al-chai, rather than a guilty one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one. So the woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp found a How to Be Mechaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, comfortably walking down the center of the Mizbeach ramp. Which reminds the next Mishnah says, every day Kohanim ascend the Mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp and descend on his western side. Rashi explains that the halacha requires the one who ascends the Mizbeach to turn towards the right at the top. If the Kohen would climb up the left side of the ramp, he would need to cross the ramp at the top, and that would be unseemly to needlessly cross the ramp. The Mishnah continues, Vahayom Kohen Gadol ol be'emsa v'yor be'emsa, but today the Kohen Gadol ascends the center of the ramp and descends in the center. Rashi explains that each time the Kohen Gadol ascends the Mizbeach, he ascends and descends in the center of the ramp. He thus traverses the entire width of the ramp on each ascent, whether he needs to or not. This display of familiarity demonstrates the Kodesh Baruch Hu's great love for the Jewish people. The reason the Kohen Gadol is permitted to cross the ramp for no purpose is because he's the Jewish people's shaliach. His act is symbolic of the unique relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol always ascends and descends in the center. Daf Mem Dalad. So the Simmer Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. Holy mud, mud. That must be more than Daf Mem Dalad. Holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, which reminds the Gemara brought a Brice that introduced a prohibition against someone occupying the Heichal while the Ketores is being burned, based on the pasuk Cho Adam Uhiyeh Bo'ho Moed, no person shall be in the Ho Moed, referring to when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kodashim. The Gemara brings a mission from Kelim that states that we must separate from the air between the Ulam and the Mizbeach during the time of the burning of the Ketores. Now this refers to the twice daily burning of the Ketores in the Heichal. Rabbi Elazar said the Rabban only taught this law in regard to the burning of the Ketores in the Heichal. The Rabban feared that one standing there might unthinkingly enter the Heichal during that time, which is forbidden in the Raisa. But regarding the time of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kodashim, we must separate from the Heichal, but there's no need to separate from the air between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rashi explains that the Kodesh Kodashim is relatively distant from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Rabban were not fearful that one's awareness of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kodashim will move someone to enter the Heichal. So, holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores. That is mechaperes for lashon hara, which reminds us. The Gemara asks if burning the ketores actually atones, and answers that it does. Rabbi Chananya taught a brisa, which stated that we've learned the ketores is mechaperes, as it says in the pasuk regarding the aftermath of Korach's rebellion. V'yitanes ketores v'yichaper al am, and he Aaron placed the ketores and atoned for the people. And a brisa was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, amal ketores mechaperes. What does the ketores atone? Al lashon hara, for the sin of lashon hara. This refers to the people accusing Moshe and Aaron for being responsible for the death of Korach and his followers. Yavo davar shebechashai v'chapra maisa chashai. Let something that is offered in private, the ketores, atone for an act committed in private, referring to the lashon hara. Rashi explains that lashon hara is generally spoken in private, even though in this specific instance it was said publicly. So holy mud was placed outside the heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the kohen gadol brought ketores, that is mechaperes for lashon hara, in on the golden shovel he used to scoop the coals. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bey stated that every day the Kohen would scoop up the coals with a silver shovel and then pour the coals into a gold shovel. The Gemara explains the reason for the two shovels is that Torah chasa mamon sheyisrael. The Torah was concerned with the Jewish people's money. Rush explains that we too must be concerned for it, and therefore we do not use a gold shovel for scooping up the coals, lest it become ruined. The Mishnah continues, Vayom chos b'shal zahav uvahya machnis. But today on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol scoops them up with a gold shovel, and with it he brings them in. The Gemara says, the reason is mishim chosha the Kohen Gadol. It's because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Rush explains that we fear that the extra effort of pouring from one shovel to the next will exhaust him. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. The Mizbeach Monopoly Board. Monopoly. That must mean we're in Daf Mem Hei. Ma. Monopoly. The Mizbeach Monopoly Board with a different maracha in each corner, which reminds us that the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gemal and Beis introduced Malchus regarding how many marachas were on the Mizbeach during the year. We'll all agree that one was added on Yom Kippur for the coals to be used for the Ketores. The Gemara here brings a brisa that identifies the purpose of each of the marachas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two daily marachas, the maracha Gedolah, to burn the Kerbanos on, and the second maracha for the daily Ketores. Rabbi Yosi holds there was an additional maracha for Kima Eish, maintaining a fire on the maracha Gedolah. Rashi explains that the fire on the large maracha was not blazing sufficiently, they'd replenish it with burning wood from this fire. Rav Meir holds that there was a fourth daily maracha for Evarim Pedarim Shul Nisakum Be'erev, the limbs and fats that were not consumed at night. Rashi explains that this refers to the limbs and fats were not placed on the maracha the previous day for lack of room, or those that were placed on the maracha but didn't have time to become entirely consumed. The Gemara proceeds to bring the sources for each one. So the Mizbeach Monopoly Board, with a different maracha in each corner, had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center. Which reminds the Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yossi's source for the third maracha, which was for Kima Eish, maintaining of the fire on the maracha Gedolah, is from the pasuk that Eish al Mizbech tukad bo, and the fire in the Mizbech shall be a flame on it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't require a third maracha. He explains the pasuk coming to teach regarding Hatzatzas Alisa, the kindling of the splinters of wood used to start the maracha Gedolah every morning. This was done by kindling small twigs and splinters and inserting them between the larger boards. Rabbi Yossi derives the law of Hatzatzas Alisa from the same place that Rabbi Shimon derived it from, for it was taught in a brisa when the pasuk states, "V'nasnim b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al-Mizbeach," and the sons of Aaron the Kohen shall place fire on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says the pasuk is coming to teach that Hatzatzas Alisa shalotei el berosha shel Mizbeach, the kindling of the splinters may not be performed except at the top of the Mizbeach, meaning that a Kohen may not ignite the splinters on the floor and then bring them to the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach Monopoly Board, with a different maracha in each corner, had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center, and a community chess card for taking coals for the Yom Kippur Ketores from the Mizbeach Chitzon. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a long braisa on which the question is raised whether the coals of the Ketores of Yom Kippur are taken from the Mizbeach Chitzon, the outer altar, or the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Torah states, V'lachach mal ha-mach de-gachal ha-esh me'ah ha-mizbeach mulifnei Hashem, and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from upon the Mizbeach from before Hashem. The phrase mulifnei Hashem, from before Hashem, implies that only a part of the Mizbeach is before Hashem, but not all of it. Which Mizbeach is that? It's Mizbeach HaChitzon. Rashi explains that the Mizbeach HaZahav is considered completely before Hashem. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus three bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number one, which Daf when the Rav Huna holds that parts of the weekday Tamid are not burned on Shabbos? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good. Number two, which Daf when the Kohen Gadol scoops the coals with a gold machta and brings it to the Kodesh Kodashim so he shouldn't become exhausted from pouring from a silver machta into a gold machta? That's on Daf Mem Dod. Good. Number three, which of the one, if the paraduma does not want to go out, one is not permitted to take the second cow with it, and it's malchuk because of a donkey may accompany it? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number four, which of the one, mutav yavuzachav yechaper al chayv? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number five. Which of the going does prohibition or want to enter the Heichum when the Kohen Gadol bring the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? That's on Daf. Mem Dod. Good. Number six. Which of the going the Ketores is Mechaperis on the Aver of Lashon Hara? That's on Daf. Mem Dod. Good. Number seven. Which of the Malkoch is how many Marakos there were on the Mizbech each day of the year? That's on Daf. Mem Hey. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we makok to bind rubber whether one is chai for extinguishing coals that have been removed from the mizbeach? That's on daf. Mem Vav. Good. Number nine. Which thing on the Rekiva Torah so meaning that one should not switch from the left hand to the right hand so as not to give the tzedukim rationale to dominate? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Number ten. Which thing on the Rebbe Yudah learns that the pasuk of Vayishal Mizbeach Tukat Bo is coming to teach about Hatzatzas Alisa? That's on daf. Mem Hey. Great. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which daf did we learn the source for Tchias HaMesim in the Torah? That's on daf. Samaches HaMsachim. Good. Number two. Which daf did we learn the topographical simanim for mountains, valleys, streams, and plains? That's on daf. Nun Gimel HaMsachim. Good. And number three. Which daf did we learn that when someone donates an unspecified amount of avona, the minimum shear is a kometz? That's on daf. Yud Ches and Shkolim. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.